Like each one of us today, every day, Jesus had choices to make. The evening we remember in today's gospel is no different. So we can ask ourselves, why on the night that Jesus institutes the Eucharist at the Last Supper, does he begin the evening by washing the disciples' feet? What is the connection? Jesus could have chosen to be any number of places, to be doing any number of things. As a man of growing influence who was a threat to the powerful establishments, both religious and secular, Jerusalem was perhaps the most dangerous place he could choose to be. As a respected teacher, wearing the garb of a servant, kneeling before his disciples to wash their feet, was perhaps the least likely thing he could do. And yet, there he was. He knew where he came from, who he was, and what he was about. As it is written, he had come from God and was going to God. And Jesus has a way of taking the familiar and turning the meaning on its head. Echoed throughout his teaching is the lesson of humility. If you want to be first in the kingdom, be last and the servant of all. When the disciples jostle, for position, he takes a child and says, if you don't accept the kingdom in a childlike manner, you cannot enter it. The disciples would have been familiar as a part of hospitality that on entering a house, a servant would wash guests' feet after a journey. As if in a sense of urgency to reinforce the message of humility and servanthood, Jesus, God in the flesh, washes his disciples' feet. He washes the feet of Judas Iscariot, whom he knows will betray him, of Peter, who will deny him three times, and the others who will abandon him. Despite Peter's protestations, Jesus states, unless he, Peter, allows God to kneel in the dust and wash his feet, he cannot enter and participate in the Eucharist meal. There can be no asserting of self and of rights here. Jesus, in this very act, elevates the dignity of the lowly, the despised, and the unseen. The disciples will never see a servant in the same light, as the servant now becomes the icon of Christ. Yet more importantly, he reveals the very nature and shape of the church's ministry and mission. Just think about it. Jesus could have chosen to model how to create a philosophically and theologically foolproof teaching. He could have chosen to model how to accumulate the largest quantity of followers. He could have chosen to model how to accumulate more wealth and power. But he wasn't interested in any of these worldly goods. Instead, he chose service. I have set you an example, he tells them, that you also should do as I have done to you. Though Jesus's transformation into the role of servant appeared temporary, he calls on his disciples to make it a permanent one for themselves. He called them, and he calls us, to a new ethic of servant leadership. In the crisis that will engulf the disciples soon after this meal, it is these actions of Jesus that will provide the shape and meaning that emerges from the chaos to come. And it is the anchor that will hold firm in the storms that threaten to overwhelm us. We have been through 2 years of pandemic living, and now nightly we see our precious Ukraine brothers and sisters fleeing for their lives as their country is literally blown apart before our very eyes. We see the atrocities that shock us with the horror. We need that anchor now more than ever. I wonder with hope how our world, our families, and our lives would be different if we took Jesus's call to servant leadership to heart. How might we reach out to each other? How different would our world be? Amen.